Hello, and welcome to Creating a Mindset for Success. Today, we're going to start doing something differently. I've been going back and forth about the podcast and what I was going to say and what I was going to do. And it dawned on me, for you to understand me and who I am and how I can help you with creating a mindset for success, you need to know a little bit about me. So here goes. My name is Karonda Glover, business and success coach. I've gone through a lot in my life, which led me to mindset and motivational coaching and speaking. Once upon a time in my life, I was doing pretty good. Then things took a turn for the worse. I was in a very unsuccessful and unhappy marriage, which I chose to get out of because I found out one thing that is true and always is going to be true. If you don't like your situation, do something about it. There's two things you can do. Do something about it or shut up and deal with it. The problem was, I was shutting up and dealing with it for about 15 to 16 years. And then one day I woke up after much prayer, meditation, and reservation, and I decided, hey, it's time for this chapter of my life to be over. I'm not happy. It's not moving me forward, and I'm constantly having to go back and redo things over and over and over again. So I took a leap of faith and I went ahead and I left my husband. I had 3 children to raise, 2 teenagers at the time, just becoming teenagers, and a 2-year-old. She may have been 3, my youngest one. We have gone through a lot together. I went to college, I got my associate degree in accounting, got out, could not find a job, nowhere. Being a single mother, you have to be in the right mindset. You have a lot of people who are single parents and who can't live with the day-to-day. They either nurse themselves with alcohol or drugs or sex or food, something to help keep their mind straight because they're having a hard time dealing with it. The time in my life that became the most difficult wasn't when I was raising 3 children. It was when I was raising my last one. My 2 oldest were grown. And my baby girl, who's still a baby, she'd be 17. It was just me and her. And I found myself at 40 years old with no job, no car, and was getting ready to get evicted. This was in 2014, the end, around Christmas, as a matter of fact. I managed to scrummage up some types of gifts. I got into a bad relationship with a guy. And that's another story for another day. But it wasn't productive, and it wasn't doing me or my daughter any good. And that's what led to me losing everything. And I found myself homeless at 40 years old with a child. If you've never been homeless before, then you need to thank God for whatever you have. I don't care if it's a raggedy shack, it's a roof over your head. Me and my daughter had to go live with my goddaughter's auntie. They said that they would go ahead, and she said she would go ahead and take us in. But we ran into difficulties there. I helped her with her business and everything. Helped her with starting it up, did the marketing and everything, and things turned. So my brother found out when I was talking to my daughter that we were getting ready to move into a shelter. That, we were trying to move to a shelter, and he lived in Nebraska at the time and was very upset and said, y'all come stay with me. Okay, mind you, my whole entire adult life, I have been taking care of this boy because we're like 9 months apart. I've been taking care of my little brother since I became an adult. He left out the house, didn't graduate, was staying in places from place to place, and he came and stayed with me a few times. And then he would always come over in the morning and ask for something to eat. And I'd tell him, go ahead and eat. If he wanted dinner, he could come. Because I just had my first child at 19. Well, I got up there with him. Oh, yeah. And when he went further along in his relationship with his girlfriend at the time, they ended up having 4 children. And they stayed with me when there was one child. They stayed with me when they had two children. They stayed with me when they had three. And then the last time they stayed with me, they had four. And I let him stay every time. Each one of them took care of them. No problem. I'm big sis. That's what I'm going to do. They're still with a uncooperable or cooperating husband. All these years, I have taken care of him. And when the relationship finally ended between him and his girlfriend, he still found himself not being able to stay in a place. Something happened and he came back and lived with me every time. Went up to Nebraska, stayed with my brother. Things were awful. His attitude, his treatment, because my baby girl didn't really know him because we left. You know, he had left. So the last time she remembered him, she was three and she really didn't have any memories of him. We got there, he was awful. Smoked in the house, him and his wife, was rude to me and his children, hollered at me in front of my child. And I called my father and I told him, I said, I don't understand what's going on. I need you to speak, you know, to your son. And my brother refused. He refused to speak to my dad. And I'm like, that's very disrespectful. He's like, I don't care. He has issues with my parents. I don't know what it is. And like I told him, you can't spend the rest of your life being angry. They did the best they could at the time with what they had. Get over it. Anyway, my father told me, well, there's only two things you can do about it. You can shut up and deal with it, or you can get them to do something about it. I'm like, Dad, I'm in a totally different state. I don't know this place. Where am I going to go? When we were out with his wife, we had ran into, she went to a pantry somewhere, and we went to a church, and I spoke to the people there. So when I decided, okay, I'm going to go ahead and leave, tell my daughter what we're going to do, and they told me they had a member of the church there that would take us in. I said, okay, fine. We got our stuff. They came and got us, picked us up. We left. Stayed there with those people who seemed to have some issues, especially with their children. I'm one of the big persons that is big on respect. Yes, sir. No, sir. Yes, ma'am. No, ma'am. I know in the North, Northwest, sometimes they don't believe in that. But talking back to your parents, telling them to shut up and call them stupid about irking my soul. Then the woman wanted my daughter to go outside and help her garden, pull out weeds in her garden. And I told her, no, she's not doing that. But she's got to put her own weight. No, ma'am. My baby was only 10. She was going through enough. I said, I'll go out there and do it when I have time, when I come back from my session at this career readiness place. And she tried to have an attitude with me. And I looked at her and I told her, I said, God bless you, but it ain't happening. And walked off. Things started to get worse. So at the career readiness center, they gave you a counselor, someone to help you with trying to find a job and, you know, your overall well-being. I got with a lady, her name was Brianna. She was wonderful. And I was having problems because I was off my meds as well. Didn't have my blood pressure medicine, nothing. And then she said, well, do you need your medication? She helped me get on my medication. And I just sat there and I just cried. I said, this is hard. You know, I don't know what to do. I'm staying somewhere, these people that took all of my time, I was on food stamps, they took all my food stamps, you know, they're trying to take my check, there's nothing really I can do. She said, well, do you feel like that your life and your child's life is being endangered? I said, yes, I do. When you taking my money and my food, that's endangerment to me. So she helped me find a shelter. Everybody in my family does not know about this. The only people that knew about this were my mother and my father. That's it. My brother just found out, couple of days ago, I forgot what I called him about, but no, a couple of weeks ago, and he mentioned he's listening to my podcast, and he told me, he said, you know what, that's not you. And when I told him what happened and what I overcame, he's like, you know what, that's your story. To me, it didn't seem like it was a story for the simple fact that I had to do what I had to do. But he made me realize there's a lot of people who couldn't do what I did. We stayed from April 15 until August 3rd of 2015 without a home. We stayed in a shelter. We bounced to three different shelters in Nebraska. I had to take my daughter to a daycare of people I didn't know, have her tell her she had to put on a big girl panties and, you know, and try and be good. And be nice, mama be right back, looking at my baby with tears in her eyes. I had to leave my baby, tell her I love you, and mama be back. I had to depend on rides from other people, but I got to my child. Anyway, fast forward. The last shelter we went to was awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. We were able to relax. We had our own room. We weren't sharing a room with anyone. You know, there was rules and regulations. You had to do chores there and cleaning the bathrooms and making sure the area was cleaned up in your area, washing your clothes and doing kitchen duty. Me, I love to cook. And the food they had there was not so, I don't know how to put it nicely, but it was garbage. And what happened was, is the people who lived in the shelter took turns with kitchen duty. So they cooked and someone would clean. And the food that they were cooking, obviously they didn't know what they were doing, or they just, it tastes like crap. Let's just put it like that. And one day they were doing the schedule and I was in there and they put my brother's baby mama, because he had another set of children with another woman. It's two sets of children he's got. He got four children with one woman, two with another one. And the one he had the two with in Nebraska, she was in a homeless shelter. And I came downstairs to get something to drink for my daughter and she was in there trying to cook. And she's like, I don't know what to do and how to cook for all these people. And I looked at it and I said, okay, do we have to cook what's on this list? And she said, yeah, I think so. So we asked the manager if we had to cook it. He said, you can fix whatever you want as long as you use every ingredient that's on the menu for today. So I got it and revamped it. And as I was revamping, there was another lady who came in and saw that we were cooking. And she's like, you need some help? I said, sure, come on in. She came in. Jennifer, I never forget her. Sweet, sweet girl. Funny. Had 5 kids. And she came in and we started cooking together. We had fun. Everybody enjoyed it. Everybody was full. There was not any leftovers made. Now, mind you, we did have people who went to work and could not eat at the time. And they had to be in at certain times by 11 o'clock. But they were out with the job. They would let them stay out. When they found out we were cooking the next day, found out that it was good. We had no leftovers. None. I mean, there was tons of leftovers in the refrigerator from them cooking before. And we went in the refrigerator. Me and Jennifer went in the refrigerator. Take out all that crap and throw it away. And some of the stuff they did still have that was good, like they had some chicken. Excuse me, they had some chicken that wasn't cooked all the way. They said it was raw in the middle. And they were getting ready to throw it away. Me and Jennifer looked at this and said, what? Oh, no. We got that chicken, revamped that chicken, fixed it up, got some greens, because they had donations of food sent to them from Hy-Vee. It's a store called Hy-Vee. I love that store. They had all these fresh fruits and fresh vegetables and did not know what to do with them. And we know how to cook greens, me and Jennifer. We got those greens, fixed those greens up. We fixed hot water cornbread. The kids thought they had pancakes. I guess because of Southern cooking and they did not know what they were having. We had the greens. We redid that chicken and fixed it on the stove, put some barbecue sauce on it and put it back in the oven because the oven had a hard time working. Then we saw the fruit, made fruit smoothies for the kids. And then saw some strawberries and stuff in there to make a dessert. And when we got through cooking, those people were excited. They ate good. Everybody, even the kids talking about it, they went to bed early. Everybody was full and was happy about it. And we got ready to clean the kitchen. It was two ladies. Like, oh, no. Y'all cooked. That was good. We'll go ahead and clean. I said, okay. You know, me and Jennifer went ahead and they asked, can y'all cook tomorrow? I'll take care of kitchen duty, because at the time I think I had the bathroom duty. They had a set of showers and sets of tubs. I'll take your shower duty. What duty do you have? So me and Jennifer said, okay, we'll go ahead and cook every day. But the manager said, no, we couldn't do that because it wouldn't be fair because it's not being rotated. I said, well, if we trade out, if they don't want to do it, can we do it? They said, yeah. So the ones who went out to work, they came in and heard about the food and said that it was one of them. Say, do you mind if you can leave us a plate? You know, we don't get it to such and such. So I said, okay. And Jennifer and I, when we got through finishing cooking the food, before we went ahead and told everyone to eat, we made all their plates ahead of time because we knew it was not going to be any leftovers. Heck, we barely got to eat. We fixed their plates, put them up in the refrigerator, and then started serving the food. And like we said, that was not any leftovers. We barely got to eat. But then at the time when we were cooking, you know, we were tasting and eating a little bit here and there, especially fruit and vegetables. They had a lot of that. I had a really good time in that shelter, but that shelter was more than just a shelter. It was more than just a roof over your head. And it became like family. We looked out for each other's children. We helped each other out. You know, we were there to speak to each other because we were single moms. There were some families that had husbands and wives and kids in there, but there was a lot of single moms. And you know, you got to lift each other up. That's what got me through at that time. My daughter at the time was living in Las Vegas, my oldest one, called me and said, "Mom, what are you doing in the shelter?" And I told her, "Hey, we doing good," which we were. We were on the list for housing, you know. I was working on my credit, working on a job, because that's what they did at this shelter. And she's like, "No, I'm just gonna get my own place, Mom. I'm moving out from this friend's house. If you come in, we can do it together." Cool. Went ahead, sent me some money for a bus ticket. Me and my daughter went on a journey. Now, this is where it comes where it says, be careful what you ask for or be careful what you pray or wish for. Because I've always wanted to travel. And I told my daughter, I said, I would love for just to travel, be able to go and do, you know, whatever we want to see the land. And during this time, we did travel. Because from Arkansas to Nebraska, we traveled on the bus. From Nebraska to Las Vegas, we traveled on the bus. I took pictures. We went through Colorado. We did videos. Me and my daughter, we had a good time while riding on that bus. And also protecting my child, because you have to be very careful on that bus. You have some very sick people. But we had us a good time. I tried to make it as fun as possible for my daughter, to where she wasn't nervous and she wasn't scared, because if she saw me that way, then she would break down. So I made it fun. Everywhere we went, I made it fun. As long as they had a gas station somewhere that accepted the EBT, we could get food, and we did fine. God provided the whole entire time. We had no problem. By the time we made it to Las Vegas, it was hot as all get out. It was July. Moved in with my daughter, started printing applications, had an interview. She was already working. And the client she had wanted a personal beautician. My middle child does hair. She's a cosmetologist licensed. And we were trying to get her to come up there with us, because all of us was there but her, and she was still left in Arkansas. She said, "Okay, cool, she'll leave." We decided to come down and get her and my oldest daughter, goddaughter. We got down there, and my oldest daughter, mind you, we left with my baby girl had 2 weeks of clothes, and I had 1 week of clothes. 3 days. 3 days worth of clothes. We went down there, drove 22 hours, took turns driving, and my oldest daughter went with her old boyfriend, crossed the line with some synthetic drugs, and got caught. There we were, yet again, back homeless. Couldn't get back to Vegas. Car got repoed, didn't have any money to fly, nothing. We were back at square one all over again. The only thing was in my suitcases, the other stuff I had was able to carry with me. It was all left in Vegas. I could not get back to it. My daughter had 2 weeks worth of clothes and I had 3 days. My best friend at the time couldn't afford to have us live with her. She felt guilty about it, and I told her, "Don't worry about it, I understand. If you can't do it, you can't do it." But another friend of mine I went to school with and a church member told me, you know, "There ain't much, but, you know, you come stay with me." She had 5 kids. Single mom, too. Went in there. We helped each other out. You know, I cooked. She wasn't really a cook. She cooked when she wanted to. You know, helped clean up. And she drove me wherever I needed to go. But I did not depend on her. If I needed to go somewhere, I walked. We weren't too far from my old babysitter. I call him Mama Counts. Weren't too far from her. I used to walk over there and ask if I could wash clothes over there, because my friend I was staying with, her washer broke down. I'd go over there and wash clothes, iron clothes. She would ask us if we were hungry, and she'd go ahead and feed us. And she's just the type of person she is. And she's like, "Baby, what you gonna do?" And I was like, "I don't know." From day to day, I did not know. So whenever she went out, the friend I was living with, whenever she went out to go and do anything, because she was trying to go out somewhere to make money to put gas in the car, because she had an expedition at the time. Anything she could do to make money, she was doing. We both was in the same boat. And whenever she go to Walmart or something, she said, "You want to go with me?" I said, "Sure," and I go. But I did not depend on her. I walked down and found a something like a little charity thing that came, some kind of advocate that went with the school district at the time. I had to put my daughter in a school district I did not like, but it was convenient, and there was a bus, and I could walk around with her. With that being said, I walked and walked and walked, put in application after application, because it's online. You know, people were so impersonal now, everything is online. And I went back to an old job. It was a call center that I used to work at, put in my application, went in for the testing, and boom, got a job. Excuse me. I was upset. I was kind of mad at God because I just knew that God was not going to allow me to lose my house. You know, I was a dedicated church member, Christian, tither. You know, if I didn't have any money, I did my time, you know, help whatever needed in church, and I lost my home. I lost my vehicle. I lost my job. Everything that I've been saving, collecting, and had in my life as an adult from 19 all the way up, I had lost. I had to give a lot of my stuff away. I gave it to charities. When that charity went to Salvation Army, and there's another place called Abilities Unlimited and Habitat for Humanity. I just had them come up, get clothes, pots and pans, and everything. And I show you how God worked. Even though I was mad at God and didn't really want to pray, didn't really have the strength, because when we were living with those strange people in Nebraska, me and my daughter would hear them hollering us and screaming, and I would just grab her, and we would rock back and forth, and we would sing. We would sing our praise and worship song for church, and that's what got us through that difficult time. When I got back there to Arkansas in the city I lived in, it's like no one could help, not even my church. So I decided, okay, church don't have any money, I'm going to do this on my own. I went, put in an application, signed up for a job, got the job, boom, just like that. I started looking around for different places, asked if they had help. Well, you know it, there was a place that gave a break on deposits and helped out with rent. It was $700 a month for a two-bedroom, one bath. I started work, I'll never forget, on my mother's birthday, August 27th. By September 1st, I had the money to get my own place. I moved me and my child into our own place with the little clothes we had, and that's it. Mind you, we didn't have nothing but just those clothes we came in to visit with when we came to Arkansas. Some of the church members who knew us pretty good, that we were really good with, really close with, and also used to watch my baby girl, she had an old bed, hideaway, not what you call a hideaway bed, the futon bed. And when I went looking for food and clothing somewhere else at other churches, another lady overheard it and said a woman was giving away furniture. They had a couch and a love seat. And the lady gave, the church member gave the futon bed, a chair, some towels, some dishes, some food. You know, she gave as much as she could to start off. And from that point on, it was ours. Me and my daughter got in our home. I'll never forget, she got out of school. We got in our home. And we sat right there in the living room. And we just cried. That was the second time we cried, because when we got our place in Vegas, we were so happy that it was ours. We didn't have to follow any rules or nothing. It was ours. I was alone, and we did not have to worry about losing it. When we moved into that place, the two-bedroom, one bath, it just felt like a big relief. You know, my baby could go where she wanted to in the house. She can go in the refrigerator and get what she wanted to eat. She didn't have to ask someone, can I have this? Can I have that? But here's the kicker part. Got the place, got the house, didn't have very much, but was thankful for what I had. Tried to go and reapply for food stamps, and they denied me for my predicted amount of income. Now you tell me, you're making $10.50 an hour. You're having to pay $700 a month in rent. Plus take care of a child and start all over again. We're trying to buy dishes, towels, soap, basic stuff, you know, that you all take for granted. Forks, knives, spoons. Didn't have a washer, didn't have a dryer. You know what I'm saying? Just basic stuff. Plates, cups, salt, pepper, seasoning salt. Stuff you wouldn't even think about that you needed. And they denied me for food stamps. So I was struggling. I was struggling hard. But I worked every day. I walked back and forth to work because I managed to find a place that wasn't too far from my job. It was within walking distance. It was a little walk, but hey, nothing wrong with that. I could lose the weight and need to exercise. I walked rain, sleet, shine, and snow until I walked and worked enough to make enough money to get my first vehicle, December 26, 2015. Letting you know and telling you my story as to how I overcame. It was kind of hard for me because I had my pride. I didn't want people to know that I went through this. Still to this day, there's people in my family that do not know. But I realized there's people out there who's going through the same thing and may need a little pick-me-up. So, creating a mindset for success. If I was in the mindset that I couldn't do it, oh, woe is me, what am I going to do? You know, we lost our home, we're destitute, we're not going to make it. I would have never made it. But I did not let that go into my head, that it was not an option. Failure was not an option. I had a child I had to take care of. She had to see me smiling every day while going through all these difficult trials. I'm telling you, same time that I was doing all that and my daughter got caught and went into jail, I had to work knowing that my oldest daughter was in jail in a totally different city I couldn't get to. One of the church members took me there once, put money on her books, and allowed her some money for her to be able to call me. But I'm worried about my oldest child. I couldn't do anything for her. I didn't have a lawyer. I just told her, baby, all you can do is pray. That's all I can do. But I had her sister to take care of. So I'm sorry you put yourself in this situation. Deal with it. Buck up. Put on your baby, your big girl panties. Pray about it and do what I taught you to do when you were little, your whole entire life. Pray. And God will take it to rest, because I can't deal with this right now. And that's exactly what I did. I worked overtime. My daughter got in October, so she was able to help me more with the baby girl. And then my middle child was basically living from place to place to place and was living with her dad, who ended up kicking her out and was not doing all right. And I told her to come on home. She came on my birthday, said she wanted to celebrate my birthday with me, and she just stayed. So here I am in a 2-bedroom, 1-bath house, back with 3 kids again, except for the first 2 are old, they're grown. And I did it. My oldest child had lost her car, and she only had a few days worth of clothes that she didn't even have anymore, because they took her car. And she did the same thing. My daughter saw me getting up every day off my butt, not asking anybody for any help, unless it was really, really serious. But if it's something I could try and do on my own, I did it. And she came in October, stayed with me until December, and got her own place. Found herself pregnant and came back home. So I told her, you might as well just stay as your first baby. I know this is a long segment, and I try to keep them short. But I just wanted you to know, your mind is a very powerful organ. And if I would have had that mindset that I could make it, I wouldn't have made it. But I had in my mind that I could not look back. I could not look at how bad the situation was. I could only look up. Now, like I told you all, I was kind of mad at God at the time. And yes, I did pray. Yes, I started going back to church. I actually went through the motions, because that's what I was raised to do. But I was mad at God. I was furious, because I couldn't believe your child did all this and helping and staying good and praying and doing everything I was supposed to as a Christian. And then when my time, big time of need came along, you actually allowed me to lose everything. But then I realized, you know, sometimes you have to start over. I didn't want to start over like that. But sometimes in life, you do have to start over. Everything I had was still memories and stuff that I built and created with my ex-husband. So I still had memories and stuff of that. Now, mind you, I never logged any of my pictures. I always kept all that baby, as much baby stuff as I could find. I always kept that. But if I would have had the mindset that I couldn't make it, I wouldn't have. My mindset at that time, and really, basically, I really think that it was just survival mode. You know how animals have the instinct of survival? I really do truly think it was just survival mode. When it happened, I didn't look at how bad my situation was. I didn't look at the fact that, oh, I don't have a roof. I don't have a place to stay. You know, where's my baby going to eat? Where's my baby going to sleep? I got up and I did it. I didn't worry about it. My mind just kept thinking. Just kept going. Because as soon as it happened, the first thing I thought of, okay, I got to find a place. Second thing, I got to get us something to eat. Another thing, main thing with the place, it had to be a comfortable place that was comfortable enough for my daughter, because I didn't want anything to happen to my baby. She didn't do enough. I didn't care where I slept, whether I slept on the couch, love seat, or the floor. I let her sleep in the bed with my friend's friend. I told her I'd take the couch. I did not care. until I got my own place. Even when I got my own place, I still did not have a bed myself. I slept on the couch. Because at first, when I got the furniture, I was like, okay, she's going to sleep on the love seat. I'm going to sleep on the couch. Church member gave her a futon bed. And then another church member had found a bed somewhere from a hotel where they were selling, remodeling and selling their beds. And he brought me a TV and a bed frame and a full-size bed. That's what I started off with. And from that point on, I just started building. Show you how good God is. Even though I was still mad at him. I started going to a lot of those secondhand place stores to go and get stuff like silverware, towels, sheets, cookware. And when I went into that store, Habitat for Humanity, as a matter of fact, because they were the main ones that got a lot of my stuff. When I went back into that store and to that pantry at that school, I found my clothes. I saw a pair of boots that I had given away that was at that pantry for the school. It was like a little community thing for the school. They had with single parents or parents who needed clothes, food, or whatever. Or detergent, I need to wash clothes. I found my daughter's blanket, her favorite blanket. I knew it was hers because my oldest daughter said, Mama, how do you know? I said, because of this hole is in there. I remember I had got there in the exact spot. Y'all, when I tell you, when they tell you God will give you back what the devil stole from you and then some, man, even though I had to pay for my stuff with the community center with the school, I didn't have to pay for that. But even though I had to pay for the stuff at the secondhand store to get my stuff back, I couldn't believe it. My clothes, my coat, my dresses, some of my skirts, my shoes, my pots, my pants. I'm telling you, everything that I had given away at the time that I really needed it, I gave it away. I ended up giving not everything to the point, but to the point of what I needed to start off with, basic stuff, I got back. Man, I called my dad and I told my dad, I said, Daddy, let me tell you what happened. Let me tell you how God did this. And my dad told me, you know what? You've been trying to leave that city for quite some time. I think there's a reason for you to stay there. That's some work that you have not done yet. It is unfinished. I went ahead and accepted it. I said, okay. I kept going. I know my mom and dad were worried, especially my daddy. I didn't tell my mom a lot because I didn't want her to worry. Me and my dad are tight. That's my buddy. I told dad everything because my dad was good in encouraging me. I told my baby, I'm really proud of you. You're doing good. I can't believe you did this far. You know, or he'd go, I knew you could do it. And I did. I got up on my feet when I finally got my own place and got my vehicle and was working and was doing what I needed to do, despite the fact that I didn't have very much food, but my baby ate. I didn't eat, but I left food there for my baby to eat. She would always save her food and tell me, Mama, you didn't eat today. I said, yes, I did. She said, Mama, I didn't see you eat. I said, baby, you go ahead and finish. She said, Mama, I left something for you. I said, no, I left the leftovers for you. You eat it. I've already eaten. Stomach growling. I was drinking water to try and make sure I stay full. Loaf of bread, I didn't even mess with because I didn't know if I needed to make for a sandwich. I got the butt of the berry and I would eat it. Bread and water is what I was living off of, because when I went to work, I didn't have any money for lunch. When I first started off, I didn't have any money for lunch. And the place where I worked at was around fast food places. The place next door to where I work, pizza place. The place next door to that, a Mexican restaurant. Across the street was McDonald's. So when I went outside to take my break and get fresh air, that's all I smelled was food. Let me show you how good God was at that time when I was going through and didn't have any food. There was a lady in there. I think all of us was going by the same thing. Every last one of us was living with somebody. Everyone in that training class. Couldn't believe it. Someone that was older than me. This one lady had made some lunches and had her son-in-law to bring some lunches. And she asked if I had anything. I was like, no. She said, well, here, why don't you take this sack lunch? She said, I always make extra because you never know who needs something to eat. She said, you know, we all struggling right now, which is true. We all were struggling. When we got our first paycheck, we all went over to Little Caesars because there was a pizza restaurant that was there. And we got a pizza and we shared and we had ourselves a good time. You know, went to the dollar store, got some dollar drinks. That class was totally awesome. we helped support each other in that class. It was a very, very good class, and I needed that because there were some days I didn't know what I was going to eat. There was days I went without eating. All I did was drink water. Didn't know how I was going to have the energy to even get up and do something every day, but I did. I got up, and if I would have had the mindset that I couldn't do it, I wouldn't have done it. If I had the mindset that I'm going to work and I don't have any food, I don't know how I'm going to think because I was on a computer. I wore the same blue jeans, same two blue jeans from August to December. Really, August to March, because I was able to buy some more clothes, but the clothes I was getting was for my daughter. I got my blue jeans. I had three pairs of blue jeans. I washed those blue jeans. I wore them. I made sure I took a shower. I stayed clean. I didn't get anything on them. And I wore those three blue jeans every day. And when I got out of training, I was able to work overtime. So I worked 6 days a week, Monday through Tuesday, every day. And I had a couple of shirts. T-shirts were a little easier to find. Blue jeans were a little harder. That was cheap. And I wore them every day. I did not complain. I did not complain. I was happy to see that smile on my baby's face. We had our own place. She was thrilled we had our own place. And we finally got our first vehicle. We just rode around the city. I asked her, where'd you want to go? And she told me where we go. I always make sure, even though we were going through a hard time, every time I got paid, I had to do laundry. Because I did laundry every 2 weeks. I got paid every 2 weeks. Every time I got paid, as soon as I got paid, I don't care how late it was. It was usually like on a, I think it was a Friday when I got paid. And the weekend, she didn't have to go to school. We would walk to Taco Bell because it was the closest place to us. We would walk there and I let her get whatever she wanted on the menu. And that was our meal. That was our time together. There was something that I could give her. You give a little bit of peace, a little bit of happiness. So that's my story. To tell you how I overcame homelessness and continued on to what I'm doing now, which is talking to you all. That was in 2015. In 2016, I met my second husband. We had been friends in church forever. When I first lost my husband, well, left my husband, he tried to date me then. I told him I wasn't ready. I had to get me together. We stayed friends. I talked to him. He was going through a lot because his mother had passed at the same time as well. And next thing I know, one thing led to another. Friends turned into something else. And I wasn't even looking for it because I told him I didn't want to get remarried. I did not want another relationship. I had my hands full. My oldest daughter was pregnant, but I have a baby. She was living with me. I had my baby girl. I really didn't have time for anything. But he was consistent. And he stayed persistent. And he stayed with me. I mean, I know I'm not the easiest person to live with, and he isn't either. But from 2016 to 2019, we stayed together on and off because he lived in Georgia as well. So he would come up back and forth because he had to go through Arkansas to get to Oklahoma. Went on and off, and then he finally just decided, you know what? I want to make an honest woman out of you. I'm like, you're right. You know, he was 60. You know, it's a big age difference. We're like 18 years apart. And he asked me to marry him. And I told him I didn't think about it. Because I really didn't want to get married again. Then I had to think, you know, I asked God, if you were to ever give me another husband, not telling him I wanted one because I didn't want to do the thing, I'd already been married before. You know, you're going to have to show me a sign. You got to just like blast it in my face because I'm not going to know. I'm not looking for it. I want a man that's compatible with me. I told him the size, the height, all my requirements that I wanted in a man, and that I wasn't going back at all. God fearing was the first one. First and foremost, I could not be with somebody else. I was unevenly yoked again. And when he sent this man into my life, I was shocked. I told him no, gave him every reason no. But when he asked me to marry him, I prayed on him. I went ahead and I said yes. That was in 2019. We got married in 2020. And man, when they say he gives you back that and more, I don't have to worry about the lights being cut off. I don't have to worry about rent not being paid because my ex-husband, I take care of everything. I was basically the man and a woman of the household. Well, this man, he takes care of everything. He makes sure I do not worry, even though I worry about him and his health because he is considerably older than me. And he's harder like most men. But to show you how I went from 2015 to walking homeless, there with other people, with a child, to 2022 with a brand new 2020 vehicle and a roof over my head and everything I could possibly want. I mean, it's amazing. I have to look back myself and see sometimes, like, man, I overcame that. Wow, I can't believe it. But it wasn't a lot for me because I was raised that way. It was instilled in us to work. It was instilled in us not to give up. It was instilled in us that you can do and be whatever you want to. You have to make the decision to do it. And I think that's what kept me going. Every time my daddy said, I'm proud of you. My daddy said, you're doing good. Any little thing I did, daddy said, congratulations, baby. I not knowing that was really helping me out. But to show you, if I had the wrong mindset, I wouldn't have made it. My daughter wouldn't have made it. My daughter probably would have been taken away from me. And then I really would have been alone. But I did not let any of that get me down. I did not look at the fact of what I didn't have. I thank God for what I did have. And I kept going and did what I did, what I could with what I did have. I did not complain. I went to bed hungry many a night. But you know what? I needed to lose weight anyway. That's not the way I would want to lose weight, but I needed to lose weight anyway. Walking and exercising wasn't getting the exercise. I needed to do it anyway. It's not the way I wanted it to happen, but it did. And it taught me to be humble, even more humble than I was before, and to be grateful for what I do have and what I don't. Don't sit up and complain about what you don't have. Be happy for what you do have and take care of what you do have, and God will give you more. So I am Karan McLover, and this is Creating a Mindset for Success. And I'd like to thank you for listening to my story. I know each one of my podcasts here are not very long, but I just had to tell my story, like my brother said, so people can know who I am and why I do what I do, why I am working towards working on my own business and working for myself and helping people overcome obstacles and overcome mind blocks so they can be successful. That's a great joy for me, because if I can do it, you can do it. And that lets me see that what I went through, someone else can see, well, she made it, I can make it. And I want you to know you can. Tell yourself. A lot of people laugh about that story, The Help. Remember when The Help came out, that movie? It was a book. I read the book. The book was better than the movie, and it was wonderful. And Whoopi Goldberg, no, it wasn't Whoopi Goldberg. It was a lady that was, she was an actress that nobody knew of, that told the little girl, remember, baby girl, I is kind, you is kind, you is beautiful. You know, a lot of people laugh at it, but do you realize what she was doing to the little girl? Was affirmations. Telling her what she was. She was beautiful. She was kind. It doesn't matter how she said it, how broke up the English was. She was instilling it in that child. So affirmations every day. Tell yourself that, because your mind believes what you tell it. Have you ever seen a person that lies so much that they start believing they lie? Okay, so reverse it. Start telling yourself that you can do it. Start telling yourself that you are beautiful. Start telling yourself that you are worth it. Start telling yourself that you are the head and not the tail. Start telling yourself you are above and not beneath. Start telling yourself you are more than a conqueror. Start telling yourself these affirmations every day. Believe in it. After a while, with you telling yourself that every day, you will. You know you can heal yourself with what you tell yourself. I tell myself every day that I am healthy, wealthy, able-bodied, and free from any and all diseases and viruses. I tell myself every day that I am healthy. I tell myself every day that I am accomplished. I tell myself every day that I believe in possibilities over limitations. I tell myself every day that I am ready for a miracle. You tell yourself that sometimes it's only you. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. Yolanda Adams came up with that song perfectly. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You know, you do. Sometimes you don't have people out there supporting you. You have to tell yourself this every day. It's important that you tell yourself this every day. If you have any questions, there's an area on here where you can ask questions. But I ask you, please, and I should have said in the beginning, but I didn't. Please subscribe. Please subscribe to my channel. And I will have more interesting talks and stories of my life to let you know how I overcame a lot of stuff and the journey I'm going through now with my entrepreneurship. And I thank you so much for joining.